We are going to have our reading now, which comes from Romans, for a change. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Before we delve into that passage and thinking particularly about hope this morning, I just want to let some of you won't know that this week we've had around 300 children in this room hearing the Christmas story, and a huge thank you to everyone who volunteered to help make that happen. One of the things that we did with those children is we talked to them about what we might need help with, what we might need guidance with, and we thought about how the wise men needed help to find the baby, and so they followed the star. And all of the children wrote things that they might need help with on some stars. And the stars are all pinned to those boards behind the tree there. It would be wonderful if at some point after the service, you had a look at the things that are written there and prayed for some of those. Those are the things that the children want help with. Maybe if there is something on there that resonates with you, that stands out with you, you can take it home with you. Maybe take two or three and go on praying for those things and those children. Some of them were very relatable prayers. One of the children wanted help getting a six pack, which if it's ever going to happen for me, it's only by a miracle. But there's some lovely things on there. So do have a look and pray through them. And as I say, take some away if you'd like to. As we come to think about hope this morning, I should really start with an apology, because those who worship with us regularly know that we've been studying Romans together, and last week I stood here and I told you we were going to put our series on Romans on pause for Advent and Christmas, and yet here we are today, and I've just read to you from the letter to the Romans. And all I can really say is that as I sat down to pray and read and prepare for this morning, as we think together about hope, it was this passage in Romans 8 that I felt we should be paying attention to. We'll come back to it again next year when we go through Romans 1 to 8. But today we're particularly thinking about it in the light of hope. All this week in this building have been going through the Christmas story with children from the local schools. And one of the other things we did with them is that we asked them to think about how they prepare for Christmas. And they generally, when we ask them, how do you prepare for Christmas? They talk about decorations and writing Christmas lists and presents. And we talk to them about preparing our hearts for Christmas. And that's what I want us to spend a bit of time doing. So each Sunday in Advent, we light one of our candles and they represent hope and peace and joy and love. And this year we're going to take a bit of time each Sunday leading up to Christmas to think about these things. Advent is a time of waiting, preparing, getting ready. And so today we think about what we are hoping for and how our hopes for tomorrow can impact our waiting today. Next Sunday, we'll think about the call to be people of peace in our waiting. That's next Sunday morning. Next Sunday evening, we'll have that service, which is an opportunity to take a step back from the busyness of December. And for some of us, acknowledge that it doesn't always feel like the most wonderful time of the year. And then on the 21st of December, we'll be thinking about the joy of Christmas in the morning at our all-age service and the love that came at Christmas in our carol service that evening. Again, all good things to invite people to, so please do grab a load of invites and give them to your friends and neighbours and people you pass on a dog walk in the morning. But today, we are thinking about hope. I want to start by thinking about hope by playing a game. It's a really easy game. It's a really simple game, but I do need a volunteer to come and play the game with me. It's honestly, I promise, it's easy. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. It's quite simple. But if someone doesn't come and volunteer, I'm going to have to pick on someone. Well, hurry up then. Come down here. Thank you, Luke. So while Luke makes his way down here, it's a simple game. No matter what Luke does, he is going to win a prize. There are three potential prizes. There is a glass bead. Ooh, yeah, I mean, I'd give it some. A glass bead. A small bag of sweets. And a guitar pick. I mean, that's exciting, isn't it? We splash out for the best hit. Luke, tell me, hold that a minute, tell everyone, what do you hope to win?
I hope to win the guitar pick.
You hope to win the guitar pick. Wonderful, just hold on to that. You don't need to do too much. All I'm going to do, Luke, is shut your eyes for me. I'm going to put these things under the cups, and you pick a cup, and whichever cup you pick, you can have whatever's under it. Right, you can open your eyes now. These are the cups, 1, 2, and 3. You're hoping for a guitar pick.
Yeah.
Which one do you think it's under?
2, please, Bob.
You'd like number 2. Number 2 is the bag of sweets. Luke, thank you very much for playing. You've done so well. I'm very sorry that you didn't win that guitar pick, but I might need it for later, so... Not a difficult game. When we talk about hope, right, we mostly think about what we want, something that we want to happen. I hope, Luke hoped, that he would win the guitar pick. You might hope that you'll get a new car for Christmas. I hope that Chelsea are going to win the league this season, but that's not very likely. The problem, I think, with this kind of hope is its foundation, right? The hope for Luke to win what he wanted, his guitar pick from here, it was based on pure luck. He had no way of knowing. He just had to guess. It was a hope based on luck. The hope of maybe getting a car for Christmas is based on some fantasy where I bump into Elon Musk and he likes me so much he gives me a Tesla. The hope that Chelsea will win the league is based on Reece James staying fit and the team avoiding getting any more red cards. Again, not very likely. We call these things hope, but the truth is they are a fantasy. They're about our desires. And at its worst, this sort of hope leads us to jealousy, to wanting what belongs to someone else, to wanting to take it from someone else. But the hope that our Bible talks about is different from that sort of hope. We started this morning by singing, O Come, Emmanuel. And this was the hope, the heart of the hope of Israel, and it remains the heart of our hope today. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus Christ, our God, who became human and lived among his people. Jesus Christ, our God, who will one day return and reign over a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus Christ, our God, who saved us from sin, who paid the cost and set us free so that we might live as the people of God. He was and is and he will be the heart of our hope and the hope in our hearts. At the time of Jesus' first coming, the people of God were hoping for a Messiah. It was a time of darkness for many of God's people. God had been silent for years. The nation had been invaded and oppressed by a succession of foreign powers over generations. And God's law had now become secondary to Roman rule. And yet they hoped. They hoped for a Messiah, for a promised Savior who would come and set them free. They clung to the words of Isaiah, a prophecy that one would come and reign on David's throne. They held the words of Jeremiah that said a day would come when the law would be written on their hearts instead of tablets of stone. The words of Malachi, which said that the hearts of God's people would be changed, transformed. The words of Zechariah, which promised a king who would come and bring them peace. The words of Daniel, who said that the Messiah would come and have glory and dominion. The hopes of God's people as they waited for their Messiah. They were not based on fantasy. They were not desires that were left to chance or wishful thinking. The hopes of God's people were a strong and confident expectation based on the promises of God. An unwavering trust in who God is. True hope is not a pipe dream. It is an expectation of strength and confidence. I don't know if you have ever looked after at any time a toddler. Some of you may have. But sometimes toddlers can be absolutely fearless. Right. At various times, both of my children, at different times, have flung themselves off of high places, expecting me to catch them, even if I'm paying attention to something else entirely. And I think if you look after a toddler for any period of time, you develop a sixth sense that there's a flying toddler coming at you from the right and sort of reach out your arms to catch them. You're there in case they jump off a climbing frame or out of a tree or from a third floor window, just ready to get them. But Caleb and Faith, my children, they wouldn't ever have just jumped out of a tree if I wasn't anywhere nearby, if I wasn't stood there at the bottom. They were too scared for that. Because, you see, there's a difference to climbing and jumping from a height when there is no one there to catch you and doing the same thing when your dad is waiting at the bottom, even if he's scrolling through his phone for the football scores and not paying too much attention. And this, I think, is the difference between the hope that we have as Christians and the hope of those who are not part of God's family. Right? Their hope, it has no foundation other than their own ability to land well. But our hope is based on the loving arms of our Father God stretched out and ready to catch us. Hebrews 6 calls our hope in Jesus an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. An anchor which tethers us to Almighty God, who is not moved by the things that move us. Almighty God, who is steadfast and trustworthy, unchanging and powerful. Though the storm may rage and we may be swayed, our hope, that anchor, keeps us safe. And it's this hope that Paul talks about in Romans 8. Our hope is not quite the same as it was for the people of God 2,000 years ago. The Messiah has already been born. He has already lived and died and risen again to set free, to restore, to deal with sin and shame and make a way for us to be forgiven. And we're not going to pick apart these verses in Romans too much, just to come back to them when we finish our series on Romans next year. But let's take a glance at what Paul says. Paul says that our hope is for all creation to be set free through the children of God in whom his glory is revealed. As we devote ourselves to God, as we become more like Christ, as his love is reflected in us and his glory shines through us, all of creation is liberated. Paul says that we hope for, we await patiently the redemption of our bodies, the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit as we are adopted as children of God. Paul says our hopes are based on the knowledge that we have of a God who is working all things for the good of those who love him. That if we have been called by him, adopted into his family, we will be shaped into the image of Christ, set right and glorified. Revelation 21 points to a day when God's dwelling place will once more be among his people, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or sickness or pain. Titus speaks of a coming kingdom without war or sickness. As God's people, we always have a hope that there is a day which is to come which will be far better than even the best day that has already been. That in the hardest of times, there is more to come. And that in the best of times, there is more to come. We have a sure and certain hope, not a fantasy or a pipe dream, not something based on a game of luck or chance, but a strong and confident expectation founded on the very nature and promises of the God of the universe. And here is the thing about all this hope that Paul talks about, the hope that the Bible talks about. Something that we wait for because it is coming one day in the future. The thing that we are hoping for impacts also our present. It is knowing that Dad will catch you in the future that lets you jump out of the tree in the present. Though I'm not advocating that any of you start jumping out of trees. I have to confess, I do not understand how people who do not know Jesus get by without this hope. For me, it is the biggest thing that separates how I function in this world with Jesus compared to how I would function in it without him. Without the sure and certain hope of a tomorrow that is better than today, it is easy in the dark times to give in to despair. It is easy to look around the world and worry about what we might be leaving to our children or our grandchildren. And I do worry about that a bit. But without the hope of the transforming power of God through the Holy Spirit, what is there to get us through difficult times? The dark times, grief and pain and sickness. And I think everyone, the only thing that gets anyone through is hope. Because human beings, we need hope. There is part built-in part of every person that is striving for something better, something greater, that can only be found in a relationship with Christ. But as human beings, all too often, we look for it in all the wrong places. So politicians claim that they will make the country great again, and we put our hope in them. Authors claim that they have 10 steps to a brand new you, and so we put our hope in that. The lottery adverts used to say it could be you, and we put our hope in that. Weight loss injections tell us that our lives can be transformed along with our figures, and so we put our hope in that. If only I do this thing, if only I win that thing, if only I have that thing, everything will be better. We put our hope in earning more money, in getting a better job. We put our hope in financial security, in a new relationship, hoping that these things might provide us with security or happiness or something else we feel we lack. We put our hopes in our football teams to disastrous effect. But these hopes are just a fantasy. Human beings are forever placing our hope in things that will ultimately fail, that will let us down, that will not give us the thing that we need the most. A sure and certain future, a strong and confident expectation, an everlasting relationship of love, eternal security in Christ. The type of hope that we have in Jesus, anchored in the unchanging nature and in the promises of God, is a hope for the future that changes the way we live today. It enables us to endure hardship because we know there is a promise of something better to come. It enables us to face death because we know that death not need be the end. It is the certain hope that frees us to take risks for the sake of the glory of God, knowing that He is there to catch us. It is a hope that lets us smile in the darkest valley because the staff of our shepherd will guide us through. Knowing that the pain we are experiencing or the struggle, knowing that the conflicts of this world and death and mourning are not the end of the story, gives us the strength to endure them. When we do not know the way forwards, when we are confused about what might come next, when we do not know what on earth God is doing in this moment, we can continue to take one step after another, sure in our hope, confident in our Lord. The words we sang earlier come to my mind. There is hope in every trial, for I can trust the Lord, who will turn my heart towards Him and help me bear the thorn. So in faith I follow Jesus on the road not understood, because I know He is working for His glory and my good. This Advent, I want to ask you to think about this question. Is your heart ready for the coming King? What do you need to do to prepare your heart for Jesus? I wonder, are you still placing your hope in the things of the world that might let you down? Are you still holding back part of your life because you haven't yet fully committed to trusting Him? Is there sin? Is there some part of your life that you need to repent of? Do you fret over the suffering and pain of today? Or are you eagerly anticipating what Christ is going to do next? Are you confident that tomorrow can be better than today? Are you looking forwards to the coming of the King who will one day make all things new and who wants to transform you right now? What might you need to do to prepare your heart for Him today? I'm going to invite the band to come up and I'm going to pray. Father God, we praise and thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. A hope for something better than the very best that has already been. A hope based not on luck or chance or fantasy, but based on who You are and what You have promised. And so I pray today that as we get ready to celebrate the coming of Jesus, as we look forward to His coming again, You would help us to hold on to that hope, to look forward to that day, and that our hope might transform our living. In the name of Jesus, Amen.